This is The Think Tank, talking about the major economic, political, and social issues of the week on the Voice of Arizona, News Talk 92.3 KTAR. Here's Dr. Mike O'Neill and Mike Russell.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike O'Neill. We're here with former Phoenix Mayor Paul Johnson. And welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
I'm sure to a lot of people, you've since being mayor, you've dropped off the face of the earth, ran for governor once or twice. What have you been up to?
Oh, gosh. The thing that I've been up to, at least politically, has been the issue of trying to deal with nonpartisan open primaries. It's an attempt by a growing group of people around the country who are very much disenfranchised with the partisan political system and the results that we tend to be not getting out of it, and the results that we do get out of it tend to not be very positive from an electorate standpoint.
Okay, you got a lot of people nodding their heads in agreement with you, though they may not approach it from the same side, but there sure as heck is a lot of dissatisfaction with the current system.
Oh,
seems to be ossified. We can't get anything done. People don't talk to one another.
Now, poll after poll shows that anywhere between 70% to 80% of the public are completely disenfranchised with the partisanship that exists in Washington, D.C. and in our own legislature.
So the question is?
The question is, how do you change it?
Yeah.
I believe that what you have to do is you have to begin with the premise that the political party shouldn't have a monopoly on voting. And what they attempt to do today is to do just exactly that. If you look at the way that the rules are designed, they are effectively designed to try to keep people out of the process. And I'll just give you a couple of examples. Simple things like the early balloting process. Most people who go and vote on an early ballot will get an early ballot the next year. If you want to vote in a primary, you have the right to do so in Arizona. It's an open system. However, if you want to vote in the primary next year, you have to make a request for an early ballot.
Whereas in the general election, you don't have to do that.
That's right.
Now, if you're a Democrat or a Republican, you do get that primary ballot automatically.
Then you're automatic. You're
okay,
automatically
so there's
included.
A structural reason that explains something that I alluded to last week, which is even though independents are allowed to vote in primaries, they don't do so in very large numbers.
Believe me, the political parties have huge angst against the idea that independents vote in their primaries. They want a monopoly on that voting system. They want the right to put up their candidate elected from their ideological extreme without people in the center being able to have a say in that process. We even see now a bill this year that has been introduced that looks at getting rid of even the primary system, moving to a caucus system. They want parties to have the ability to nominate individuals. It's kind of these star chambers.
In other words, we would go from the 10% of people who currently vote in primaries down to maybe 1% who participate in the process.
Exactly. Well, think about what just happened to Senator McCain. Senator McCain and I fought quite a bit while I was mayor, and I know he could be a cantankerous sort. I actually tend to like him a lot now. But it's still interesting that you end up having a group of people who are not elected effectively telling someone who is a United States senator, elected both in his primary as well as in a general election.
And someone
election,
who has a fairly high degree of popularity in the general electorate.
That's exactly right. And someone who I think, if you looked at most people's standard in Arizona, they'd consider him to be certainly right of center. Some people may consider him to be far right of center.
He's a pretty conservative guy, but not to the Republican caucus. In fact, the interesting thing is this week and last week, we talked about nonpartisanship, a willingness to work across the aisles. I think if you were to rank order our United States senators, 100 of them, and say who are the handful that have been most willing to cross the aisle on occasion, John McCain would be pretty high on that list.
I think he is very high on that list.
That's probably why they don't like him.
That's exactly right. Now, if you look at our country, there's absolutely no doubt this country wouldn't have even been formed without compromise. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have put together a constitution without people on the right and the left working together. In fact, if you look back in history, you can look at Jefferson and Hamilton. Both of them brought great gifts to the table, both the right and the left. Almost all of our founders opined against the evils of political party, you know, all the way from George Washington, who talked about be careful of people, of political parties who...
Factions, I think he called it, and he was sufficiently concerned about it that it was the subject of his farewell address.
That's exactly right. It was one of the three things that he warned us about, because he recognized that both our involvement in foreign affairs as well as regional divides and political parties could all be very damaging to the nation. Even guys like Thomas Jefferson said things like, if I had to go to heaven with a political party, I'd rather not go at all. Political parties were not what the founders intended when they were putting this country together. But yet, we now have this small group of people who represent these political parties who think that it's their job to tell the rest of us who we should have a right to vote on. And even more importantly, when we do elect them, they think they should have the right to tell them to shut up.
Interesting thing is that one result of this is that many of the reform proposals are uniformly opposed by both parties.
We have done a good job of being able to unify both the Republican and Democratic Party on one thing, and that has been the open primary concept. You know, the open primary concept is a concept that we're planning to put back on the
Explain,
ballot in 2016.
Let's go back, roll that back, will you? Tell us what an open primary is. Exactly.
Sure. What an open primary is, an open nonpartisan primary. If you live in Arizona and you have voted in a city election, you know what one is. City elections are nonpartisan open primaries. People show up to run for office. They do so without a partisan label attached to their name. The citizens go out and vote for the entire list of candidates. The top two vote-getters go to the next level.
In other words, it's exactly the way you got elected as mayor.
That's exactly how I got elected as mayor. And if you want to know why your mayors tend to act much more moderate and work to try to pull people together as opposed to congressmen and legislators, it's because of the system they're elected in. They have to appeal in both elections to the majority of the voters. When you run for, well, let's just pick Congress. Out of 435 members of our United States Congress, only 60 of them have any competition in a general election. The overwhelming majority of our Congress will win in their primary.
And therefore, the only voters they have to be concerned about are the people who vote in the primary in their party.
Exactly.
Who tend to be the most extreme.
When you run those numbers, here's what the numbers are. Somewhere around 36% of the people in Arizona are Republican, about 36% are independent, about 26% are Democrat. In a primary election, not a general election, but a primary election, at best, you will have a 20 to 30% turnout. So 30 times 30, you're talking about 9% of the public will vote in the primary. And that then says it's when you get down to the 9%, a majority is 4 or 5%. Most of these people who are winning in these primaries have 3 to 4% of the overall electorate that's actually putting them into office.
All right, we're going to stay with independent voting. We have our very special guest, former Phoenix Mayor Paul Johnson, with us. We're going to get right to it next. You're in the Think Tank right here on News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
You're listening to the Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona, News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
We're here with Paul Johnson talking about, in effect, why the rules of politics matter. They do, don't they? The rules of the game usually determine the outcome.
They completely determine the outcome. They not only determine the outcome of who gets elected, but they determine the outcome of how those people who get elected think. You have to think about elected officials, and I know sometimes people beat up on them. I'm not intending this to beat up on them. Effectively, elected officials are a reflection of who they represent. And if you end up being elected in the primary, you will tend to represent those people, reflect those people
who respond,
are partisan voters.
In that context, respond, because the usual response you'll get to that is, wait a minute, why are we so upset with the legislature? Didn't we, after all, elect those people?
And the answer is we didn't. If you really look at the legislature, they are not elected by anywhere close to a majority of the voters. You have two parties who have a monopoly on the system. You have districts that are gerrymandered. When the election is done in the primary, the race is over.
The fact is, even if they're not gerrymandered, by the time you get through abiding by the various regulations and you take into account residential patterns of...
The system has been rigged. And make no mistake, the special interests who control the two parties have intentionally set out to rig the system to ensure that people who are mainstream voters are cut out of the system.
You had a reform proposal last time, managed to put together people like Joe Arpaio and the League of Women Voters on the same side.
Yeah, just not on my side.
tell us about the top two proposal you had last time. It went down. It went down and where you go from here.
In the top two proposal, when we started, most of the polling had us up, some by 15 and 20 points in the beginning.
One second here. Can we, because we talked about this last week as well, what is the top two system?
Oh, I'm sorry. The top two system, again, it's a system much like your city election, where everybody runs in a open general election in a nonpartisan basis. The top two vote getters go to the last level and the voters choose between those two.
So it could be Democrat, Democrat, Republican, Republican.
Could be. That's exactly right. Now,
Republican.
It also can be completely nonpartisan, meaning you leave the label off.
Okay.
Our system proposed last time that we actually had a label left on behind the candidates. What we found in that is there was a very good attack by the other side. The Koch brothers put up a couple of million bucks. We had Sean Noble and a number of other folks helping fund the campaign against us. They ran an ad that said, hey, you could end up with only two Democrats on the ballot, and your choices could be eliminated. We didn't have the money to respond to that. We were much more of a grassroots effort than they were. And consequently, we ended up having doubt being created in voters' minds.
I think the answer that you never got to speak was what is the current system, which is in 90% of the districts, you've got two choices, but a preordained outcome. And it doesn't matter who you vote for.
That's right.
The candidate of whatever happens to be the majority party in that district is preordained.
90% of the elections. In Arizona, there are really only six competitive legislative districts. You could argue there's
30.
Nine out of 30. In the U.S. Congress, it's about 60 out of 435, meaning...
Out of nine in this state.
Yep.
We're lucky, actually. We're way above the national average in having three actual competitive congressional districts out of nine.
But it means two-thirds of the state have no choice.
Yep.
So where in ours you have a choice, theirs they have no choice. Now, we are going to change our language that we're going to propose that is going to eliminate... the party labels behind the name. That was one of the things that Sheriff Arpaio and Bill Montgomery and others said, gosh, you could have the Mickey Mouse Party, or they had a whole bunch of things that they said.
My guess is they changed their argument against it, though.
Oh, my guess is.
They're going to say, my God, you took it off. You're not even going to know what party somebody is.
Yeah, my guess is that this is about trying to protect the special interests who control the system today, who put big money into controlling the system today. And again, our challenge is going to be we have to keep getting back out in front of the voters and letting them have a choice. Now, here's what we know. Since that last election, the ranks of the independents have grown. Since that last election, people are becoming even more frustrated with the partisan system. Change is coming. It's going to happen. What we need to try to make certain of is that it's a change that empowers more people as opposed to disenfranchises them. One of the changes being proposed today is to go to a caucus system, meaning cut more people out. Our system says, no, the way to solve our problem is to let more people in, which means that you have to compromise with a greater amount of people. And in my opinion, after being mayor and having to do that, that's usually a good thing.
Now, you are engaged with a number of people on a national level. Tell us what's going on.
Well, this isn't just an Arizona phenomenon. Not only has Arizona grown to where now independents, at least in Maricopa County, outnumber both Republicans and Democrats, and on a statewide level, they're just literally a smidgen behind the Republicans. On a national level, people in large numbers, without any voter registration effort whatsoever, are changing their parties to becoming independents. There are a large group of people at the national level who are becoming deeply frustrated by our United States Congress, by their inability to work with one another, by their inability to cross the aisle and to talk to one another.
There's a penalty if you do that.
That's exactly right. There's a penalty if you do that.
I mean, we talked about John McCain getting censured.
John McCain, and censuring means they want him to shut up.
Yeah.
Right? That's really what they mean. They don't want him to talk.
They're trying to slap his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to say, we disapprove. It actually was a vote of disapproval, right?
That's right. It was a censorship vote. And so effectively it said, hey, we'd like the guy who's been elected by the majority of the people not to be able to talk anymore, not to be able to address us, to be kind of kicked out of our system.
Don't ever try to find a compromise on anything. You are elected by the portion of our caucus that's the most extreme.
Now, the most fun thing about that, though, is you have to, I mean, here's a guy that spent, 5 years of his life in a prisoner of war camp. My bet is that they're not going to be very effective at shutting him up. But anyway.
Well, he in effect said so. He said, well, I was thinking of retiring, but after this, no way. I don't know if that was posturing, but it's not entirely unbelievable to me that they could have had that reaction. I don't think he's the kind of guy who rolls over.
So our answer is, or what's happening on a national level, is you have a group of patriotic Americans who want to see a change in that Congress, and they believe the best way to do it is through local initiative. So it's not just going to be Arizona that's going to have open primary elections. I believe we're going to see them in states across the country. You're going to see it in liberal states like Illinois and conservative states like Arizona. And the idea by people who believe that we ought to be drawing the best from both sides as opposed to trying to alienate the best of both sides is that you have to change the system to make that work.
Now, this can only... can you see this being passed by any legislature anywhere? Is this an initiative-only thing?
You know, in California, what happened was it was a strongly Democratic state. You had Governor Schwarzenegger who proposed it. And that got behind it. And that was clearly very helpful in California. It's also
there was some, if I remember the history of that, there was some legislator who held up a budget or something like that.
I believe basically. That was Steve Peace.
Yeah.
And then in Washington, it passed. Nebraska's had it for 50 years. They've had it for a long period of time.
They also have unicameral legislature. They've got a lot of things that are
which
unusual.
Which I actually
there.
Like yeah. a unicameral legislature, yeah. but that's a whole different story. The
Well, that's kind of like the Phoenix City Council, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that would be kind of a politician reduction act of somewhat.
Yeah.
You're going from
90.
Oh, you had me in politician
it, you,
reduction.
You
had me.
Put it that way. I think that could get some support.
But
not in the legislature.
Not in the legislature. The legislature, you know, when you talk to people who are involved in that system and who are controlled by that system and controlled by the special interests mm-hmm. who control that system, they are deeply threatened by what we're trying to do. Remember last time they tried to put a separate item on the ballot. They took us to court three different times. We won three times in the Supreme Court with our language. They tried to challenge everything from our people collecting signatures to the actual language that we put on the ballot. And in the end, when that didn't work, they went out and got their buddies to put up a couple million bucks to try to defeat it.
That's the big question, I say. How do you keep from being rolled again by just piles and piles of money?
Well, the answer is that we have to try and engage those people at a national and local level who believe that patriotism means that we need to find common ground in America. And there are those people out there. I mean, you can look back and you can see everyone from Mayor Bloomberg to Howard Schultz with Starbucks. There are a number of people who are involved in national security issues who are deeply concerned about the problems that we're creating for ourselves because of a partisan issue. It's trying to engage those groups to help make that change. And I will tell you, you don't have to do a lot of engaging. They're already there. I mean, look at what Howard Schultz with Starbucks did a couple of years ago. He sent out a letter to almost every CEO in the country and said, hey, let's quit funding these guys until they can sit down and come up with a budget. The reason that we don't have a balanced budget today, the reason that we have huge deficit spending, the reason that we have problems on fixing our educational system is mainly because both sides have no desire to work with one another, and our goal is to change that.
All right. Well, hey, unfortunately, we could definitely use another half hour with you, but we're on a short schedule today. Thanks so much for being with us, former Phoenix Mayor Paul Johnson. Best of luck to you and in your future endeavors as well. On behalf of Dr. Mike O'Neill, I'm Mike Russell. Thanks for spending some time with us right here in the Think Tank on News Talk 92.3 KTAR.